हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Jai. So now we've had Balaram in Dwarka, and he's gotten Krishna's army because Arjuna accepted Krishna. Then he, Duryodhana then immediately took his leave, you know, thanking Krishna. Then he went to Balaram's palace to speak to him, to get him to fight for them, because he knows he's always been supportive. But Balaram points out that, he's always been equal to both sides and like that because of the relationships. And so therefore, then there should not be, you know, something should be worked out. But because Krishna has already taken the Pandava's side, then he can't go against Krishna. And so therefore, he says that he won't fight for either side. So then Duryodhana leaves. But the thing to understand is Balaram knows if Krishna's already taken the Pandava's side, they've already won. The Kauravas have lost, so then why get involved? Because Krishna is the origin, so what he wants, that's what will happen. Like that, because it's his energies. Balaram stood up and embraced Duryodhana. Knowing that Krishna had sided with the Pandavas, he considered the Kauravas already defeated. So that's why he said, fight according to Kshatriya principles, may good fortune be yours. You know, he just leaves it at that. He does nicely, he'll get, you know, the benefit. Duryodhana left Balaram's palace and went to see Kritavarma, the Yadava commander-in-chief. So this is the Yadava commander-in-chief. He's already gotten the army, but now he wants the commander-in-chief. So he's not just satisfied with that. He just has to get everybody he can. He asked for his help, and Kritavarma, in accordance with Kshatriya custom, could not refuse. He agreed to fight on the Kaurava side along with the million warriors already given by Krishna, so then he becomes their commander-in-chief. Right? Instead of just taking it, they'll come with the commander-in-chief. No, he has to go and get. Thus he gathered the army and prepared to leave with Duryodhana. Surrounded by the terrible-looking forces and with Kritavarma by his side, Duryodhana headed back towards Hastinapura with a light heart. In Krishna's chamber, Arjuna and Krishna were alone. Krishna asked, "Why did you choose me rather than my army, especially knowing that I will not fight?" Tears flooded Arjuna's eyes as he replies, "There's no doubt that wherever you are, there will be victory. If you desired, you could slay all the Kurus. In your presence, O foremost of men, I too will be able to kill them all. You're the most famous and illustrious person in the world, and I will attain a similar fame by gaining victory in this war. O Krishna, it has long been my desire that you act as my charioteer. Please fulfill my desire if you find it acceptable." Because he said he won't fight, but being a charioteer, then he's not technically fighting. He's taking part, but he's not fighting. "It is fitting, O son of Kunti, that you measure yourself against me." Krishna replied. He placed a jeweled hand on Krishna's shoulder. "I shall gladly act as your charioteer. Let your desire be fulfilled." Right, so here you have the aspect of where there's friendship between them because they're like equals. So friendship, the special thing about friendship is this aspect of pranaya, where you would be qualified and in a position for having that kind of respectful dealings, but you're not, out of affection. So Arjuna, even though he's friends with Krishna, like equal, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he's technically his servant, but at the same time he has that affectionate familiarity. So then he's saying, therefore, you have all victory, and if I have you, then I'll have all victory. So, you know, with you by my side, I was hoping that you would be my charioteer. Like that. He says, you know, this is a long desire, you know, it's been there. Because Krishna was the charioteer when he fought in the Kandava forest also. So the two of them together, because Nara and Narayan, they're always together, right? They fight together, they do everything together. You know, they sit in Vadarika ashram and in the ashram together. So here, then, it's natural that they would be together in this fight. The two friends spent some time together in Dwarka and then prepared to leave. Surrounded by many Yadava chiefs and warriors, they set off for Virat. So then others came for fighting on the with the side with Krishna. So he wanted Balaram. He was hoping he would, you know, head up things. He needed someone to commander in chief. So then he got Kritavarma, and then that went with Duryodhana, and he went back with that army. And so now you have, then because he left, he was happy with that. He figured he did well, so he's not worried about anybody else. But whoever's left, they're all coming with Krishna and Arjuna. King Shalya of Madras received news about the impending war. As the mother of Pandu's second wife, Madri, he wanted to assist his nephews, the Pandavas. He had already formed a strong friendship with Yudhishthira, and he longed to see him again, right? So here they have a very specific relationship, so they're going to act in that way. But other kings, when they come, they may not. You know, they just whoever comes first. So then, since he's there, he's already decided, I'm going there. If they haven't decided, then who comes first? But he's decided, I'm going, right? Taking his army, he had left the city to go to Virat. While traveling, Shalya's army occupied an area of 4 square miles. With their flashing armor and bright pennants, they appeared like a moving sea covered with gems. They travel in his slow marches towards Virat, shaking the earth and sending up massive clouds of dust. Hearing that the Madras army was on the move, Duryodhana then arranged a regal reception for them along the way. He had palaces erected in charming spots, well decorated with gems. The Kauravas sent artists for their entertainment and had the best of food and drink laid out for the entire army. Artificial lakes adorned with lotuses and fountains were constructed with fine seats arranged around them. As Shalya approached these places, he was greeted by thousands of Brahmins, who received him with worship and adoration. He was shown to a palace that would have been suitable for the gods. Greeted with honors befitting Indra, Shalya was pleased, thinking too highly of himself and too little of the king of the gods. Assuming that Yudhishthira had made all the arrangements, he asked his servants, "Where are Yudhishthira's men? Fetch them, for I would like to reward them." The servants looked surprised. They went to Duryodhana, who had remained concealed from Shalya, and informed him of everything. When Shalya had become so pleased that he was ready to give away even his life, Duryodhana revealed himself, bowing before his maternal uncle. The Kaurava prince said, "You are welcome. Please instruct me what else I can do for you." It was Shalya's turn to be surprised. He embraced Duryodhana and replied, "I am satisfied by your reception. Ask for me what you may desire," right? Because he's been coming and he's been taken care of and made so much nice arrangement for him. And so then naturally he wants to reciprocate. Duryodhana folded his palms. "Grant me an auspicious boon, O illustrious man. Become a leader in my army." Shalya realized that he had been tricked, but out of honor he could not refuse Duryodhana's request. He replied, "It is done. What else do you desire?" Duryodhana said he had no other desire. With joy, he continued to repeat Shalya's work. "It is done." But it means, okay, that he is. Disappointed that he would now be opposing the Pandavas in battle, Shalya said, "O king, go back to your capital. You will soon see me there, but first I want to see Yudhishthira. Then I shall come and join your army." "You may go, but please return quickly. I am depending on you. Do not forget your promise." Right? You know, so they say all these things that, "Oh, we're depending on you." So because here he made arrangements that Shalya himself is a proud king, as kings are. And so then he's, trying to say, "We depend upon you. And so therefore, please come quickly." After embracing, the two men departed, and Shalya continued on to Virat. He saw the Pandavas there and was greeted by all of them with respect. They embraced him and sat him on a beautiful seat. Shalya gazed at his nephews with tear-filled eyes. "It is good to see all you heroes hale and hearty after your exile. How have you passed these last 13 years? Nothing but misery attends one who has lost a kingdom. But now your suffering, brought on by Dhritarashtra's son, will end as you slay your enemies." Shalya looked at Yudhishthira sitting at his feet. "O great devotee of God, no one has even seen a trace of greed in your character. Like the Rishi kings of old, you exhibit self-control, forgiveness, truth, non-violence, and all other qualities that are so rare in this world. You are mild, generous, religious, and attached to virtue. O chief among kings, it is fortunate that I am able to see you freed at last from your difficulties. Shalya then told Yudhishthira about his meeting with Duryodhana and his promise to the Kaurava prince. Right, so because they're kings and that they understand the codes and all that, so then because he said that, then, you know, they may be sad that he won't be with them because, you know, because of the relationship. But at the same time, they understand. They won't think, oh, you're a traitor and this and that and that kind of thing. Although Yudhishthira was disappointed, he agreed that it was a point of honor, right? He was disappointed because they were hoping they would naturally fight with them. But because of how it was arranged, Duryodhana tricked him. Therefore, then, you know, it's a point of honor. He's given his word. You know, he said he wanted to give benediction, you know, to whoever's made the arrangements. They expected Yudhishthira to come, but it was Duryodhana. But so he's already said, so now what is it he wants? He wants him to fight. He agreed, so then. He said, O king, you have done the right thing by granting such a boon when you are pleased at heart, right? Because he was pleased by the arrangements. And he thought it was Yudhishthira. That's why he was going to do it. If he had known it was Duryodhana, then he might have been a little more, he would have, you know, thanked him and all that, but he would have told him he's already, you know, like this. But the point was, is Duryodhana on purpose hid himself so they would just naturally think it was Yudhishthira. And so once he understood he was tricked, then, you know, what could he do? You had no choice, and I do not criticize you for it. It's just like Yudhishthira was tricked into the gambling match and all that. So in other words, Duryodhana, all he's doing is tricking people all along. So by tricking, you know, religious people, he's getting his material facility, and he thinks that he's the intelligent person. But the problem is that improper action doesn't last. Only that gained by proper action lasts. And in this material world, even pious action is still temporary. But only if one's God-conscious, that action, that gives eternal results by one bringing one to actually realize your relationship with the Supreme. So we see here is that, you know, he understands how it's done because he's been tricked in the same way. Still, I have a request. You can do us a great favor in the coming war with our cousins. It is well known that you are a charioteer without equal in this world. I have no doubt that when the final battle takes place between Arjuna and Karna, you will be asked to drive Karna's chariot. At that time, you should do whatever you can to discourage Karna and take away his energy to fight. Although it is improper to ask this of you, O hero, still I ask it out of fear of the Sutta's son. We must, by any and all means, defeat that evil-minded one, right? Because Arjuna has Krishna as the chariot driver, you know, and he says, without equal in this world, but Krishna is the chariot driver without equal in the cosmos. But on earth, then we see is Shalya is the best. So then they'll naturally want him to be the chariot driver for Karna, when Karna fights with Arjuna. Now, of course, we've seen that Karna's been beaten, you know, twice in one day at Virat before, and then previously the Gandharvas defeated it, and then Arjuna defeated them. So we can see is Arjuna is the superior warrior. But Karna is a great, you know, is a great warrior. And during battles, you can't always tell how things will go. Sometimes the weaker person becomes victorious, you know. So you want to be very, very careful about that. So it's not just because you're the stronger or the better one that you always win. Generally speaking, you would, but sometimes it doesn't. So Yudhishthira's worried that we want to make sure from all sides. Shalya felt pleased that, although he'd been forced into fighting for Duryodhana, there was still something he could do for Yudhishthira. Right? Because otherwise, then it would have been just he goes and then he'll do his best on that side. But he's saying, you do what you can to kind of reduce his spirit like that. The news of the Pandavas' exile had greatly upset him. It was outrageous that the Kurus had allowed such a thing to happen. His brother-in-law Pandu would have been mortified if he had been alive. How could the Kurus expect any good fortune when they injured men of the Pandavas caliber, and especially when they insulted a woman like Draupadi? Like, they can't get anything. It's just a matter of time before something gives fruit. So this war, and in 18 days, everybody that they know is destroyed, including Duryodhana, all his brothers. That's the fruit of having injured the Pandavas and insulted their wife. But all they're looking at is, we did it, we're living good, so maybe fate's on our side. They don't know that sometimes, you know, because you plant a seed, it grows into a plant, and because it's very, serious, it may take longer to grow, but when it grows, the fruit will be complete. In any case, wherever the fruit comes, it will be balanced. Shalya said, I will surely do as you ask, O noble-minded one. I do not doubt that Duryodhana will have me drive Karna's chariot. At that time, I will speak words calculated to deprive him of energy, right? Because the Kshatriyas know, especially these great, stalwarts like Shalya, Drupad, and they all know what encourages, what words encourage and speak, because they run kingdoms, they run armies, they've been in battles, so they know how to inspire the warriors. So he'll also then therefore know what will make them feel bad, right? O king, all the miseries you have endured at Duryodhana and Karna's hand will soon give rise to your happiness. Right? Because you've suffered through this, then they'll naturally reverse. This is the way of the world, right? If there's good, it will go bad. If there's bad, it'll go good. So the only way to actually solve it is by God consciousness. Get out of the cycle of samsara and go back to Godhead. So he's just saying this is the way of the world. O hero, do not blame yourself. Everything is under the control of supreme destiny. It is the Lord's arrangement only that great personalities like you suffer difficulties, right? Because otherwise, they do nothing to cause that. So therefore, the supreme may bring that about to show the example. You could say, oh, but why do you do that? It's like, what other book is being read 5,000 years later? Or like the Ramayana, that wrote, millions of years ago, and it's still being read? Right? It's like that. So, like that. All the great books, you always see that the hero, there's some element of there, and then there's some difficulty, and then that difficulty is overcome, and then, the glorious position is achieved. So these are the stories that last. And so of all wars, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, these are the greatest wars that have ever been. And so people today are still hearing them. So one can complain all one wants, but hey, that's why you're reading it. Right? Even the gods are sometimes obliged to suffer. I have heard that Indra has had to endure much misery along with his queen. Yudhishthira asked Shalya to tell the story of Indra and how he had suffered. The Madras king recited the history in detail. Shalya was well known for his wisdom and knowledge. And even the Brahmins came forward to hear him speak. So when he spoke, the Brahmins came, because otherwise they know all these stories. But when he spoke, he'll speak with a particular wisdom, and realization that's there of its practical application. So they'll come forward to sit here. After speaking with the Pandavas for hours, it was time for Shalya to depart. Yudhishthira began worshipped him with due honor and reminded him of his promise. Assuring Yudhishthira that he would do whatever he could to assist him, Shalya bid the Pandavas farewell and made his way to Hastinapur. After Shalya's departure, Satyaki returned from Dwarka. He brought with him a huge army consisting of chariots, horsemen, elephants, and infantry, bearing battle axes, swords, spears, lances, mallets, clubs, maces, and bows of all sorts. The army appeared like clouds with lightning. A full Akshahini in number, it merged with Yudhishthira's forces like a river entering the sea. So already there's so many armies there, and then they come in and then just become part of this. One after another, different kings came to Yudhishthira's side. Drishtaketu, the king of the Chedis, came with another Akshahini division, as did the king of Magadha, Jayatsena. The two kings, Pandya and Virat, also each supplied an Akshahini of powerful warriors. Finally, Drupad brought his army, assembled from various countries, and led by his two sons, which amounted to two full Akshahinis. Within only a few months, seven Akshahinis stood ready at Virat's to fight for the Pandavas. So he got seven together. In Hastinapur, various other kings were coming to assist Duryodhana. They amassed 11 Akshahinis. Right, so we see here Shalya and his warriors, how big they are. That may have been an Akshahini. So then that would have been 8 and 10. but because of the trick, now that it was 11 and 7. The soldiers, you know, and also then you have the warriors from Dwarka, like that. The soldiers crowded Hastinapur and its surrounding regions, so there was hardly any free space anywhere. Duryodhana had arranged for a vast army of Vaishyas and Shudras, greater in number than even the warriors themselves, to ensure that the soldiers received sufficient care while they awaited the order to march into battle. Right, so all these others are taking care of all them. So this, you know, is again, you know, it's like an army of them. It's just so many. They're taking care of all these armies. All that remained to be done was to meet with the Pandavas or their emissaries, if no agreement could be reached, and Duryodhana planned for no agreements, then war would begin. The Kurus informed that a messenger was on his way, waited expectantly. So now they both are ready. They have their armies, and the whole world has been divided between the two parties. And now it's like you have your might, and so now it's, okay, now we discuss. You know, that would be always the thing. There's going to be a war. There's a final thing if there can be a discussion, because war, it's always better to not have war, because in war you never know how it'll go, and in war there's so much loss. And so it's never your first choice. Your first choice is always going to be, you know, conciliation. That's always going to be the first. But if that doesn't work, then we'll see. So now they're all ready for the fight, and now they're checking and seeing what's happening. You know, they're waiting for the, remember, Drupad said he'll send his priest. So then how that goes, we'll see, you know, in the next discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.